Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is John Swanson. He is the HPC controller and DataPath product line manager in the Synopsys Solutions Group. John has worked in the development and deployment of verification, integration, and implementation tools, IP standards, and methodologies used in IP-based design for over 25 years. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So we usually start with a story about how you got in the semiconductor industry. So can you share how you first got started?
Sure. It goes way back to growing up in a factory town where our shop teacher had us pick up old televisions, and we spent the after school our senior year building one that worked and learning about electronics. And then in college, I focused on hardware, and that kind of led towards a semiconductor background.
Yeah, and so what brought you to Synopsys? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so I was living in Chicago, and I just wanted to move out to the West Coast, and so I packed up everything I owned and drove to Portland, Oregon area, and actually got a job with a little startup company that some of the listeners may remember called Logic Automation, and we wrote software models for verification. We became Logic Modeling, and eventually Synopsys bought us, and that's close to 30 years ago now.
Oh, that's a great story. 30 years of Synopsys, that must have been quite interesting. I've been around Synopsys since the beginning as well, but I've never actually worked there, but great company. So let's talk about HPC controllers. What are the main challenges faced to scale to 1.6T?
Sure. So with 1.6T, we're actually specifically talking about the Ethernet work, which is going on in the IEEE. We're finally getting the 800 gig standards all ratified, both the CERTES, which was recently ratified, and the standard for the 800 gig applications. 1.6T is, again, doubling the rate as we have for Ethernet, over the years or over the decades when you talk about Ethernet. But this one's going to bring some really unique challenges. So, first, from an application point of view, you're going to have to be able to take data at this rate, so 1.6 terabits. So picture the, the big switches that are the backbone of the internet that have, 50 ports on them. These are going to be based on 200 gig CERTES, and, the switch fabric and then the applications that use the data are all going to have to run faster. And that brings the big challenge, which is, one of the things that's been going on over the years is when we double the rate, you make the interface a little bit wider, you run the clock a little bit faster. As we've shrunk in geometries, it really hasn't been a problem. But you can't keep doing that. And with 1.6 terabit, there's some major redesigns need to happen to the Mac, to make sure, you can efficiently lay these chips out, because it's not just simulation, we have to build them. And so that's from the Mac point of view. And then there's also the PHY, which, remember, for Ethernet is both CERTES and PCS. And the big discussions right now are, how are we going to do the FEC? That's a forward error correction. Because it's a latency, nightmare, and nobody wants higher latency. So there's many proposals on how we're going to solve this. Copper versus optical, and all the electrical details need to be worked out. So, there's a lot of challenges to get to the 1.6 terabit. But, IEEE maybe not be the fastest organization in the world, but there's some great people working on this stuff. And I'm sure we'll get there over time. And companies are committed to it as well. I mean, you can see, early prototypes of 200 gig CERTES at various events today.
Right. So how has the explosion of high-performance computing changed the landscape of high-speed Ethernet?
It's a combination of things. There's been so much more data generated. I mean, really, we're fundamentally, with Ethernet, we're talking about moving data. And because of the amount of data and the explosion in AI, more and more has been pushed to the edge. And you're not going to see the 800 gig or 1.6 terabit, 1.6 terabit at the edge for some time. But aggregates of 25 gig for 100 and single links made up of 50 gig and 100 gig are fairly common. And it lets you do the computing more locally and then push it up to the cloud when it's the right time to do it.
Oh, got it. So what are some of the new approaches and technologies being used to address these challenges?
Yeah, so I touched a little bit on the Mac, right? I mean, so there's going to be some really good engineering needed to do Macs that can support 200 gig to 1.6 terabit. And we've got to look beyond 1.6 terabit because when we finally get that done, I'm sure somebody's going to say, let's start working on 3.2. It'll be the next logical step. But there's a lot of other things that are going to need to be done. The FEC just on building the silicon. Right. I mean, this is going to be a big challenge. We don't want to add a lot of latency. And there's a lot of good ideas that are being proposed right now in the IEEE. And we'll see which one, ultimately comes out. I have my personal favorite. I won't say which one it is. But I understand the complications that creates. So none of them are going to be very straightforward. With the awesome new technologies, when we build these chips, we're not going to be building them on the older process. They're going to be, 3-nanometer type of chips. And so we'll be able to run those really fast clocks and just all of the physical challenges that need to be dealt with. And that's a key point, right? I mean, IP for 1.6 terabit Ethernet, it's more, got to be more than just, the IP as it's traditionally been delivered. It's going to be delivered, proven to work with the different SerDes and things like that, to make sure, these chips that come out that are going to be supporting this can be designed more efficiently.
Oh, that's interesting. So what role does cloud and edge computing play in enabling applications to scale to meet the demands of the big data requirements we're seeing? And what are some of the trade-offs involved in using these technologies?
Yeah, so the whole movement to the cloud, from the cloud to the edge, I think is really a function of the availability of compute. And you're also not always connected to the cloud. I use automotive as an example. When you're driving through, I live in Portland, Oregon. When you're driving through Oregon on the valley, you're pretty much always connected to the internet. But as we start heading east, we hit some of the no cell phone zones. And so we can't be connected to the cloud and our car needs to run all by itself and a car is an HPC platform on wheels, right? So by moving things to the edge, we're able to make local decisions and communicate with the cloud and the other, things that need to know what we're doing as needed. A factory is a great example of that, right? Most of the factory is running low speed, but it needs, supplies. And when supplies get to a certain level, you need to order new ones. And a great way to manage that is to process everything locally and on a regular basis, update, send your information out to your suppliers via the internet, going through the cloud, and getting your supplies delivered. And again, the need for more bandwidth is that everybody's doing this kind of thing now. And so there's just a lot more data being pumped out up to the cloud and through the internet.
Right. So what about AI? How is AI affecting the development of 1.6T and what are some of the privacy concerns?
So those are really two, fundamentally different questions. So I think the first thing is how is AI affecting the development? We'll probably use some AI to get the silicon done for 1.66 terabit. Synopsys has been investing a lot in that type of technology. But beyond that, look at the amount of data that AI is generating and what a great, great timing this is. We've recently had a ChatGPT has been launched, right? I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it yet, but it's, I would call it way cool. And it's generated this just huge amount of data and traffic, and they need the servers. Everybody wants to play with this thing, and you're going to see these kind of applications propagate into more and more markets. And as they do, it's going to generate more and more data. So AI generates a lot of data.
Yeah, I agree, John. AI is a big deal for the semiconductor industry, both in developing and deploying and using. I think just about every wafer today has, is touched by AI. And
you know, AI is never going to have enough performance or have enough memory or storage. So I think it's going to keep us busy for a while. But can you tell us, just final question, an overall summary, you know, what are some of the future trends and developments in HPC, and how are they likely to impact the Ethernet industry in the coming years?
Yes. So one of them is actually the second point of your previous question, the security. You know, security is beyond AI. I mean, you certainly don't want to have somebody be able to ask an AI to get your data. Security is going to be addressed at hardware, software, and at the user level. So that's one thing. And specifically in Ethernet, you know, we have an IEEE standard called MACsec. So we're able to, you know, move the data from point to point via encryption, you know, encrypted today. And there's lots of software that can be applied to security as well, but it's fundamentally the applications. I think the biggest trend is going to be kind of the move towards chiplets. So if we think of the work that goes into building a 224 gig SerDes with a PCS on it, and on these very small geometries. In my opinion, this is something that makes perfect sense for the chiplets. And if you look at these big switches that are being developed today, you know, the dies are getting huge, which of course impacts the yield. And so it feels like the time is really right for these things to come out. So, you know, security with standards, making sure our data is protected. Everything's going to have to stay low latency, back to the FEC challenge. And the ability to develop, these systems really in chunks using things like chiplets, I think, is probably the biggest change we're going to see in the immediate future.
Yeah, I agree. Chiplets, you know, I think they're going to be a little bit harder to implement than we imagined, but there's a lot of work going on, and I think it's going to be, you know, the future for semiconductor design. And you know, AI, I have done the ChatGPT, and for me, it's more of a tool than a toy right now, but I can see, you know, this technology being quite disruptive, and you're right, it's going to be all about semiconductors. We're going to have to, you know, be able to power this stuff. So I think there's really a bright future, and I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of disruption in our industry, which is always good, right?
I agree. I mean, you know, you look at how the industry's changed. I mean, I've been in it a long time. I remember not even owning a cell phone. And then I remember walking around DAC with a cell phone and a pager. We were starting to look like, you know, stormtroopers with all the hardware strapped to our belts. and your iPod was in your backpack, or your heaven forbid, your tape player. And now we've got it all on a phone, and it all streams through the internet, through the cloud.
Right.
It's incredible how the technology has changed. And you know, yes, chiplets are going to be challenging, but, you know, again, I think the time is right. And we've got, you know, a standard interface now, the UCIe, that is really going to help that market take off, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's one of the trending topics on SemiWiki. So I agree. You know, we're definitely going to get there. Hey, great conversation, John. Thank you again for your time, and I hope we can have you back, in the future.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and I'm happy to come back anytime.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.